Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru Knee Pain Podcast Series. This is Bill Paravano, the Knee Pain Guru, and each week on this podcast, we go over different challenges that individuals are having with chronic knee pain. And before we get started, I'm going to give my standard disclaimer. Nothing in this podcast is to be construed as medical advice. The information here is information that has helped both myself and countless individuals over the past 10 years get improvements from chronic knee pain. And I'd just like to share that information. I believe it's good to have that information out and in the possession of other people who can benefit from it. So the one important thing is to make sure whenever you have a knee injury that you make sure that nothing is broken or torn first. And that is really most important. You go to the doctor, you get the x-ray, the CT scan, the MRI. You want to make sure nothing is broken or torn because that's very important to know what you're working with. If something is broken or torn, get that fixed and then begin to set up the conditions that allow your body to get over chronic knee pain. And of course, the information that I'll relay today is dealing with chronic knee pain issues without the use of prescription drugs, painkilling shots, or surgery. And usually what happens is using prescription drugs, painkilling shots, or surgery is basically a paradigm. It's the Western medical model paradigm of understanding what's going on with your knees. And you could think of it like a box. Everything in that box can be addressed by prescription drugs, painkilling shots, or surgery. However, if you don't have anything broken or torn, you don't fit in that box. Being in that box is not necessarily going to benefit you. That's why it's important to look outside of that box, and this is what I'm going to share today. And when we're looking at chronic knee pain, you want to get both a bird's eye view and a worm's eye view. You want to see exactly what's going on with your knees. You want to get an understanding of what's happening as far as the pain in your knees. And with that understanding, connect that to the bird's eye view to be able to zoom out, to get the bigger picture of how the pain in your knees connect with other areas of your body. In other words, the knee pain tends to be just the weakest link in the series of tension from your head to your feet. You could think of it like when you stub your toe. You're walking around at night and you catch your big toe on the corner of your bed. Well, your whole body tenses up. You get that, ooh, ah, that really hurt. And the whole body tenses up to protect that injured toe. Well, your foot compensates, your toe pulls back, your foot pulls back, you bend your knee, you bend your hip, the tension shifts into other parts of your back, it goes all the way up into your shoulders, you're usually looking for something to grab, you clench your jaw, you hold your breath. Everything responds to that toe injury. And the very same thing happens when you have pain in your knees or you had an injury to your knee. Your whole body compensates for that. And that's very important and it's very natural for your body to do so. However, what ends up happening is it's a functional tension pattern for the injury. It becomes a dysfunctional tension pattern for you to move around in your life without experiencing that chronic knee pain. So this is what we're going to work on. Let's see. Have some updates here. Janelle, the coaching client, is doing phenomenal. We are in her fourth month of working together. And she is completely out of pain. This has been going on for the past couple weeks now, and we're probably going to be wrapping up her coaching program here. Janelle had been experiencing chronic knee pain for 2.5 years, and that it was just one of those Janelle's in her early 20s and had been to everybody and couldn't really find an answer or a solution as to how to address what was going on in her knees. And we began working together several months ago. It was, I believe, April. And began just setting up the conditions. We first worked with her water. And there were insights that she had that she never realized what she was drinking was contributing to what was going on in her knees. She thought just having a cup of coffee in the morning was no big deal, when actually it was contributing to what was going on. Everyday things that she thought was okay to drink was actually contributing to her knees once we started analyzing what was going on. Same thing with food. There was foods that she was eating. Now, she's in college, so there's a huge component of not having a place to cook food and, you know, basically what's available in the school cafeteria and things like that. And we worked to figure out a plan on how she could begin to eat the things that were helping her knees get better. And she stuck with it, doing just a phenomenal job. And once again, it was food that she thought would be considered healthy. Food that you would look in many common health books, nutritional books, and things like that, that you would think wouldn't be any problem. Like whole wheat bread, no problem. It would be good for her. However, it was contributing to what was going on in her knees. So, by understanding that bigger picture, by looking at how the body responds to the different foods, to the water or other things she was drinking, how it can be contributing to or helping with what's going on in her knees. And then, of course, we looked at exercise, how important exercise is. And, of course, you'll say, absolutely, I exercise. However, it's targeted exercise. You can target different types, different body parts. Meaning you can go into the gym and just work your biceps and not touch your calves. Or you can do a chest workout and never really affect your back. And it's the same thing in your legs. You can work the bigger muscle groups in your legs and never touch your knees. It's the same effect. So it's targeted, specific targeting of the area that you want to strengthen. And then, of course, when you're looking at these bigger tension patterns, you have, and you're experiencing knee pain, you have tension patterns that are, some are pulling too tight, some are not pulling tight enough. So it's about understanding what is loose, which is why we want to do that targeted strengthening, as well as what is too tight. And that's where we want to create space. That's where the nerves are being interfered with. If something is squeezing too tight, it's irritating the nerves in your knee. It's causing and contributing to your chronic knee pain. So we need to create that space. We need to open up the space in your knee. And there's very simple, quick and easy techniques that I was able to share with Janelle that she was able to do in the comfort of her own dorm room. And, you know, she's going to school full-time. She's holding down pretty much a full-time job as well. And she still had the time to be able to do these exercises. With all of that stuff that she had going on that was on her plate, she still had the time to do these exercises, which only took several minutes a day. And she improved in a period of 3 to 4 months. So I'm just so pleased and happy for her. Just to hear it in her voice, it's really exciting, because a couple weeks ago she sent me an email on how excited she was able to go dancing. Now, you could probably understand a young woman in her early 20s who wouldn't be able to go dancing, how depressing that would be. How that would like tear at your heart, like all your friends are going out and having a good time. And you can't go because you're afraid your knee is going to give out. So to be able to share that with her and point her to the specific exercises in my virtual clinic that was able to contribute to her living the life that she wanted to live. It was just so cool. And right now we're working on getting her into a strength routine where she's going to be doing more than just leg extensions, leg curls. She's getting into like actual squats and other exercises like that, as well as she's jogging now. And we're doing specific breathing exercises with the jogging that makes it more of like a moving meditation, which is very cool. And then we also have Zach. Zach is graduating as well. Zach, if you'll recall, Zach had 4 knee surgeries over the past 4 years. Zach is now 25, so his first knee surgery was when he was 21. He tore the ligament, the PCL ligament in his right knee. And that's the case study that I've been doing on the Knee Pain Guru website. Been pointing out we've been working. It was actually just shy of a month. And he went from knee pain that he'd been having for 4 years to completely out of knee pain. So, and this is what I'm talking about. By understanding the specific dynamics of what's happening in the knees, getting both the worm's eye view and the bird's eye view, you get an understanding of what's happening. And being that I've been through it, Zach actually had a worse scenario than I did. You know, he had 4 surgeries, which are extremely traumatic, and we were working with scar tissue and nerves in the knee that were numb because of all of the surgeries. They got to cut nerves, end up cutting across nerves that make things numb, and they take a while for them to regenerate. And then, of course, every year he was having another surgery. So that was really challenging and really tough. And Zach was already there. He was already there with his diet and with the water. And we just did a few tweaks to what he was already doing. And he was like off to the races every week. You can see, I just posted, I think it was yesterday, I just posted the last bit of that case study, and he's not even thinking about his knee anymore. And that is one of the biggest issues that I have seen. It's not the knee pain. It's not the debilitation of the knee, that you can't walk around the house. It's that obsessive dark cloud that you feel from the moment you get up to the moment you go to sleep. And then even when you wake up, you're thinking about your knee. It's like, how am I going to turn so it's not going to hurt? Am I going to bump my significant other with it? Are they going to roll over and bump my knee? How that affects a person's love life, how that affects, you know, how you feel during the day, fearing to take that next step. That's not a way to live. That's not a way to go through life. It's so important and so crucial to be healthy. You weren't put on this earth not to enjoy it. So you might as well. I don't see any reason why not to. So, okay, those are the updates on the clients that I've been working with. Really exciting that, and congratulations to both Janelle and Zach as they're moving on in their lives. They're doing their thing, and that is phenomenal. Also have some other areas of the world that have been involved over the past week, and that has been in Windsor, Wisconsin, in the U.S. There is also in, and I may pronounce this incorrectly, Wairarapa, New Zealand, and Mindari, Australia, and St. James in the Barbados. So that is very cool. That is very exciting that people are getting benefit from the Knee Pain Guru website all over the world. So, okay, without further ado, we're going to go on to the questions for this week. It says, I have knee pain and other joint pains, mostly knee and ankles and tops of the feet. These pains get very bad. I will move my knees and feet and will hear clicking or popping in the joints. I will also get these same clicking and popping in my toes, fingers, and wrists, them popping with little movement. I'm 35 and 15 years as of in the fire department. Longtime martial artist. I've had these pains and pops for years, since I was a teen. 8 years ago, I went to a doctor and was tested, and he said the scans did not show anything. He did give me medication at the time for arthritis, but I never filled it and was glad because a couple years later it was recalled. He did give me a few samples, though, and it did mask the pain, but that was all. I lift weights, and I notice I feel good for a few days after heavy leg work, but if I go a week or more, the pain comes back really bad and even keeps me from sleeping. Sometimes, like right now, my ankles and feet feel hot. I massage them and stretch, but the pain comes back shortly and the popping and clicking still happens. I researched it a bunch, but nothing I find seems to help. Was curious if you had any ideas about what I was talking about. One other thing I notice is when the weather gets bad or low humidity, I get tons of pain in my knee joints and ankles. And sometimes my feet feel numb, like after when a limb falls asleep, but not as bad. I often thought arthritis or poor circulation, maybe, but how can that be treated naturally? Daniel from Mississippi. Okay, Daniel, good question. Now, remember when I was talking about when the body tenses up from an injury, it protects itself. It's that natural response the body has. This is, you can call it the fight, flight, or freeze response. That's like when we're under stress. The body tenses up. The heart rate goes up. The blood pressure goes up. The pupils constrict. The blood vessels constrict. The adrenal glands kick in. This is a natural response the body has to an injury. And what happens is, especially if you're a fireman, you're exposed to those types of adrenaline rushes on a pretty regular basis, I'd imagine. So what happens is the body ends up staying in a constant hyper-alert state. This causes the joints to squeeze closer together. When the joints are squeezing closer together, that means there's less room for the blood and the oxygen to move around the body. This is all controlled by your nervous system. This is all how the body naturally works. It's like when you feel stressed, you feel tense. When there's tension, there's less space for blood and oxygen to move around. There's less space for the nerves in your body. So the idea is let's go contrary to that. So we want to create more space. And of course, there's stretching. And I do believe stretching is very important. I have a huge part of that in my virtual clinic on stretching. And people may recognize it as yoga or stretching like before an athletic event, that type of stretching. However, there's another type of stretching that I also include in my virtual clinic, in my home study course, that is just, you could almost call it anti-stretching. I refer to it as passive stretching. And it's a way of allowing the body to create the space in the joint on its own. You could think of it like those Chinese finger games when you were little. And when you push the fingers together, the game loosened up, and when you pull them apart, it tightened. So the idea was to push the fingers together, which was completely counterintuitive to what you would think it would take to get your fingers out of this Chinese finger trap, this Chinese finger game. So that's exactly what we do in the passive stretching section of the virtual clinic. We find the specific area in your knee that hurts. If it hurts in your kneecap, if it hurts on the inside of your knee, if it hurts on the outside of your knee, if it hurts on the inside of your knee below your kneecap, or the inside of your knee above your kneecap, there's specific points that I go over in the virtual clinic that show you specifically how to release the pain, tension, and discomfort in that area. And you find it by massaging your knee. You can do that right now. You could find those spots, work around in your knee, and you'll come across the one of those that it's like it'll be a real zinger. It'll be like, oh, man, that's sharp. That burns. That shoots. That's tender. That's tight. That's where it hurts. Or you may feel like a band around your knee. Or you may feel that it's just swollen in the knee joint. This is all from tension. This is all from the body tensing up to protect itself. So we use these concepts and principles of taking the body and taking the pressure off of that area, and then the body responds accordingly. The body begins to easily let go of the tension on its own. Very simple concept, very simple idea, and it has very profound effects in the body. And as a result, using those same concepts and principles, I worked with Zach and Janelle. Zach, I actually worked in person. Janelle was over the phone to be able to help her get over what she was dealing with her knees, both of them. So that's, Daniel, that's what I think is going on with the poor circulation, the popping, all of that. And it's just everything is squeezing real tight together. And what needs to happen is we need to create more space. We need to create the space so the blood and oxygen can get in there so the nerves aren't being interfered with. And in doing so, your body won't experience that anymore. So anyhow, Daniel, I hope that helps with your question. And if it doesn't, shoot me another email. Okay, got a question from Mike. I had progressed to hardly no knee pain except when I feel tight from some activities such as horseshoes. Stairs going down is still slow and the right knee feels tight, but I use the handrail for support and work my way through the stiffness. The knee then will be sore. I can wall squat about half of the way down. I had arthroscopic surgery in both knees. The knees really hurt doing the ebook exercises at first, but the exercises still cause some soreness at the knee joint. I will try the virtual clinic next. Is there any exercise specific for the stairs and running? Sincerely, Mike. Okay, Mike. Yes, there is a specific exercise in the virtual clinic. I believe it's one of the first three or four modules in the passive stretching section of the virtual clinic. And it says for up and down stairs. And go into the virtual clinic, log in, of course, and then go to the stretching lounge. And in the stretching lounge at the top is the passive stretching. You scroll down about halfway and you'll get to the passive stretching section. And in there within the first several modules, like I said, three or four modules, there's one specifically for going up and down stairs. Because what happens is, when I was talking to Daniel about the body tensing up to protect itself, how the body, we talked about the stub toe earlier, and when the body tenses up to protect itself, it can hold that dysfunctional tension pattern. Well, what happens is it's called a femur override. It's when the bone in your upper leg is slightly over the top of the bone in your lower leg. And this would happen like if you're walking and you stop real quick, or you're running and you stop real quick. The bone in the lower leg stops first, and the bone in the upper leg slides just a little bit over the top of the bone in the lower leg. Now, this is not going to show up on an x-ray, a CT scan, or an MRI. I'm talking about like a fraction of a millimeter that it can shift, that femur can shift over the top of the tibia, which is the bone in your lower leg. Well, what ends up happening is now it's going to be difficult for you to extend your leg, especially going downstairs, when you have to extend the leg to step, or when you're going upstairs, when you're pushing off and you're trying to extend your leg going up. These are both the same type of scenarios, and you're going to have pain, discomfort, tightness, tenderness in the knee. So the idea is to create the comfort in the knee joint. When you create comfort in the joint relaxes. You think about it. If you're sitting in a chair, you wouldn't sit in a chair uncomfortably. You'd want to sit in the chair comfortably. And then your body's able to relax and go to sleep. Same thing if you're lying on a couch. Same deal. Now we're specifically targeting your knee joint. How can we create comfort specifically in your knee joint to create that space that your joint needs to take the pressure off of what's going on in the nerves in your knee? So that is it. It's the same concept with both stairs and running. You're going to have that same type of pattern that is going on in the knee that is preventing it from being able to extend the leg. So I go over the specific exercises in the virtual clinic, showing you exactly what to do, how to do it. I go over step by step. The video's in there. I explain the concepts and principles of what you're looking for in your body when a change takes place in your nervous system. And then the specific way to position your body, to position your knee, to take the pressure off of that knee joint, creating comfort and allowing it to create that space. So Yeah, and Mike, especially when you, this is going to help with the ebook exercises as well. Because, like I was saying in the beginning, the tension pattern in your body, something is holding too tight, and something else is not tight enough. So the idea is we want to strengthen what's loose and loosen what's tight. It brings the body back into balance. It takes the pressure off of the nerves. And then your body has the infinite capacity to heal itself. So, okay, Mike, let me know if that answers your question. And on to the next one. When I squat, the sides of my calves give way. Any suggestions? The outsides of the calf, to be more specific. Okay. On the outsides of your calves are bones that are called your fibula bones. They comprise the lower part of your leg. And once again, when we're looking at those tension patterns, the tension patterns in the body, how it tenses up to protect itself, those tension patterns affect even those bones, in even the fibulas. And when those bones hold that tension pattern, and you're really stressing it when you're squatting, if those bones aren't equally balanced in all directions, then what happens is you get to a certain point and the legs can give away. And this is, I see this a lot, that these tension patterns, these dysfunctional tension patterns, cause a lot of heartache, cause a lot of issues. So what needs to happen is we need to create the comfort in the body. We need to create that space between that bone and the rest of the tension pattern in the lower part of the leg. And there's not a specific stretch. Like, you can't stretch your calves to get to it. And you can't stretch your IT band to get to it. And you can't stretch your shin to get to it. This is one of those things that we're looking at your structure. This is a specific type of stretching, a targeted stretching that allows your body to create the space in that part that's causing the sides of the calves to give way. And this I go over in that passive stretching area of my virtual clinic. So the ability of the body to heal itself is there. We just need to create the right conditions. And once you begin, and once the body begins to understand this concept of comfort, then the body will do what it needs to do so you don't have any more knee pain. So, okay. Let's see, next question. Dear sir, want to explain my knee history. Had a knee accident twice, one in 2004 and another in 2005. As a result, I had a severe knee injury of the ligaments. I had a lot of treatment of my knee ligaments. The result is after 5 years, the stress of the ligaments are not set at the actual position. I am facing severe problems in running and up and down stairs, but no problem in walking even 5 or 6 kilometers. I've been a good tennis player in 99. My weight is now 89 kilograms, and at the age of 40, my uric acid level is 7.5. Height is 5 feet 8 inches. Um, I would like you to check out this message and help me with the suffering. Thanks in anticipation with all my best regards, Nassim. Okay, Nassim, thank you very much. It sounds like the ligaments are not in the correct position. This is exactly what I was talking about in the last three questions from Daniel, from Mike, and the last no-name person. And what it is it's tension patterns. We're looking at the body that it's just protecting itself. It's protecting itself from being injured further. And what we need to do is find out those specific areas, get that targeted stretching going to create that space, that targeted passive stretching to allow the body to begin to unwind and let go of that tension that it's holding on to. So, and of course, that sounds like it's part of the issue. You definitely want to get the diet under control. And like I was saying, talking about before when mentioning Janelle, there's foods that you may be eating that are contributing to that uric acid level that are causing issues with how your body feels. If that acid alkaline level, if it's too acidic, it causes issues. That acidic state can sit in the joints, irritating the nerve endings, sending a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. Now, like I was saying, it's typical foods that you could eat that are considered healthy that, you know, they may even have the label organic and natural and free range and all of that. Like one of the things that I learned is that chicken eggs can cause problems in your body, eating chicken eggs. If the type of food that the chicken is eating is not, or creates more of an acidic state in the chicken, that chicken passes that along to you. The same thing with, like I was saying, whole wheat bread or even sprouted grain breads. Sounds like it's really healthy and natural and organic and all of that kind of good stuff. Yet by eating these types of foods, it can cause a problem with the acid-alkaline balance in your body. Even a sports drink. You would think, well, a sports drink is healthy. It's helping me replenish electrolytes and stuff like that. Yet there are contents of that sports drink that can cause issues in your body that make your knees worse. I mean, there's a laundry list of different things that you wouldn't think. Like you look at it and it's like, oh, well, that's healthy. That's good for me. And then you start looking in deeper and how that affects your intestines and what scientists are proving causes inflammation in your belly, in your intestines. It causes gut permeability, meaning that it makes holes in your guts. So the stuff that's supposed to be passed out of you when you go to the bathroom is now leaking in your body. And it's oozing all over the inside of your body, sitting in your joints, creating this acidic state, creating the problems, and you're doing your darndest to get over knee pain, and it's like you're thinking, oh, I'm eating healthy, and it's actually working against you. Foods like corn and beans and rice, you think that's healthy? Maybe not necessarily. So, anyhow, That gets into some aspects of it. Nassim, I think you get your water intake tweaked out. And one thing I'd like to say about water You could think of it like if you're mixing a drink for yourself. If you, of course, all drinks are made up of water. If you put in too much water, then the drink isn't right. And if you don't put enough water in there, the drink is too strong. So too much water, the drink is going to be weak. Not enough water, the drink is going to be strong. And it's the same thing in your body. There's a balance. If you drink too much water, then you can flush out too many minerals and electrolytes and things like that that causes certain types of issues in your body. And if you don't drink enough water, your body's too concentrated. The waste products are not cleaned out enough. So it's important to get that right balance for your body size. So that's very important. I think, Nassim, you begin to follow those principles that I'm talking about. I get into that in way, way more detail in my virtual clinic, as well as in my home study course. And I think you're going to see some dramatic results in how your knees feel and get back to playing tennis like you like. So, okay. Let's see. Next question here is from Judith. Dear Bill, I have improved so much doing exactly what you have prescribed, but what can you do to be able to sit all the way down on top of your knees? I'm 5 inches from being able to sit on top of my heels in my yoga class. I use a bolster to do it. I enjoyed your most recent passive stretching exercises on the floor. I will be practicing them. When I started your program, I could not go up the stairs without a great deal of pain. Now I can go up the stairs, but I feel weakness in the knees when I go up the stairs. Maybe you have some advice on exercises to strengthen more of the ligaments and tendons in the knee. I continue to ride my stationary bicycle every day, and I'm thrilled to say that I have more strength in my legs and knees, and my feet are clipped to the pedals as you suggested. I listen to everything that you put on your site, and for anybody who's listening, it's critical to follow each and every detail. I have learned the hard way. Today I went to the dentist and did something I haven't done in 6 months. I walked 2 blocks to and from the parking lot. That's 4 blocks in total. That used to be impossible for me. The orthopedist told me that I needed to use a cane, and he said I had bone-on-bone contact. Today the idea of a cane has become a myth for me. Regards, Judith Cohen. Judith, that is awesome. Very, very cool. I am so glad you wrote in. The piece with being able to go all the way down on your heels without the use of the bolster in your yoga class, that is, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning when we need to have a bird's eye view. The worm's eye view is that, okay, your knees are tight, so you're not able to get all the way down your butt to your heels. So what we're looking at is we need to get the bird's eye view of the bigger picture, because what's going on in your knees is just the weakest link in the series of tension from the head to the feet. So I would suggest, and I did some specific targeted exercises for the hips and the lower back. I would start doing those exercises, the passive stretching exercises for the hips and the lower back that I believe in, and in my experience working with clients, what ends up happening is there's tension in the hips that lock up the knees as well, and vice versa. Sometimes it ends up being a chicken or egg thing. Did the knees start hurting, the knees start getting tight, causing the hips to lock up, or did the hips begin to lock up, causing the knees to be tight? So my suggestion to you is begin working with one of the passive stretching exercises I have in there is called the Elvis Pelvis, and you know, the range of motion in the hips and things like that, I begin working with those specifically to start loosening up the tension in your hips. I do believe I have another video that's going to be going up in the September virtual clinic that's going to continue promoting the releasing the tension in the hips, the lower back, and the sacrum as well, which is at the bottom of your spine. I think those are going to really contribute and get you that last 5 inches to be able to sit on top of your heels. The exercises to strengthen the ligaments and tendons in your knee, I'd really focus on the magic chair or the Roman chair. That's the one that's really going to do you a whole lot of good, as well as the slow squat. You begin doing those two and really committing to like 1 to 2 minutes per day, really focusing on doing it for that period of time, and then, of course, focus on your breathing. You got to breathe when you do those exercises, because otherwise what's happening is if you're doing those exercises without proper breathing, you actually build tension in your nervous system. And that actually makes your situation worse, not better. So I would focus on those hip exercises to loosen up your hips, and then do the slow squat and the magic chair, and that I think is going to help you a whole lot. So, okay, Judith, well, thank you so much for your question. Glad to hear you're doing so well, and keep me posted on how that changes. It's always great to hear the positive results that are coming about. Okay, question from Irma. Thanks, Bill, for your enlightening information regarding the knee. My diagnosis, however, is the wearing down of the cartilage in my knees, particularly the right knee. What can I do to stem the deterioration? Knee replacement for me would be a last resort. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Irma. Okay, Irma. Basically, what we're looking at is there's not enough space in your knee joint. That's why the cartilage begins to wear away. I believe there's two components. One is, you could think of it like, I like the example of the dry sponge that you have next to your sink, the sponge you haven't used in a few days. And that sponge gets really hard and dry, and it doesn't really absorb water. And your body functions the very same way. Like the cartilage and the meniscus in your knees functions the very same way. It needs water in order to be smooth and lubricated. That water needs to be in your knee joint, and that allows the smooth fluid motion as you walk. So the knee joint begins to get dried out, and it begins to wear. It wears on the cartilage and the meniscus, and it causes problems. So you could think of it just like the sponge, that if you have the sponge squeezed and now you're trying to get water into the sponge is not going to absorb water because you're squeezing it too tight. And this is what I believe happens in your knees. That when your body, remember that I was talking about the dysfunctional tension pattern. The body tenses up to protect itself from being injured further. That tension squeezes out the water in the knee joint. It squeezes out that synovial fluid in the meniscus and the cartilage. So now there's too much tension in the knee for blood and oxygen to get in there and lubricate and clean out that knee joint. So you have a twofold problem. One is you may not be drinking enough water that allows the body to clean itself out. And then second of all, you have this tension pattern that the body is holding onto to protect itself that is causing the knee to be squeezed too tight, that it doesn't matter how much water you drink, it's still like that sponge that you're squeezing tight that you can't get any water in. So the idea is, first and foremost, you want to begin to drink more water. That's, your body needs that to heal itself. And then the second piece is you want to be able to create that space in your joint. You want to be able to allow and bring comfort to that joint, because when the cartilage begins to wear away, it hurts. You want to create the space in that joint, allowing that joint to understand what comfort is. It creates the space. Now you have the room for the blood and the oxygen to get in there and heal what's going on. So you could think of it like that sponge scenario. You finally quit squeezing on that sponge and you allow the water to get into the sponge and get the sponge soft again. That's what I believe the situation is with the wearing of meniscus, the wearing of cartilage, the diagnosis of bone on bone. All of that happens because the knee is squeezing to protect itself from being injured further. So all we need to do is begin to relax that tension in that joint, create comfort in that joint. The space is created on, because when the body is relaxed, the water can get in. So anyhow, that's a direction. And of course, the nutrition, you know, to stem the deterioration, your body needs optimal fuel, like a Formula One race car needs optimal fuel in order to stay in the Indianapolis 500. If you put diesel fuel in a Formula One race car, you're not going to get optimal performance out of it. That's just common sense. The very same thing happens in the body. If you do not put optimal fuel in your body, then you're not going to get optimal performance out of it. And your body's not going to be able to heal the damage in the knees, be able to heal the damaged cells and the tissues and things like that. So, once again, it goes back to what is the proper fuel for your body. And the proper fuel is not what you think. Like when we were talking about the whole wheat breads and other, you know, things that you would eat that you would think, oh, this is good for me. The stuff that is labeled natural and organic and free range, yes, it can be beneficial. However, there's specific foods we're looking at because those foods are different for a lot of individuals, for each individual. And you can be eating foods that are causing your knees to hurt worse, causing the deterioration of what's going on in your knee joint. So, Irma, hopefully this helps you out some. Okay. Next question is a question from Mohammed. I'm still unable to stretch my right knee fully when walking. I am taking physiotherapy 3 times a week whenever possible. I had injured it in late April last year. MRI taken on the 7th of June of 2009 concluded the following: moderate osteoarthritis changes, complete tear of anterior cruciate ligament, and partial tear of posterior cruciate ligament. Torn posterior horn of medial meniscus, bone bruises of medial tibial condyle. To reduce stiffness in the morning, I normally apply either Voltaren gel or Reparil gel. When I overtax my knee by long walks, I occasionally had to take either Voltaren 100 milligram tablet or Mobic 15 milligram tablet. Do I need to change my lifestyle with respect to my right knee? I'm no longer able to walk my normal 3 miles daily as I used to do. With weather permitting, I swim about 1 hour daily and it feels like it improves. Waiting for any advice or suggestion, and he is 74 years old. Mohammed. Okay, Mohammed, I would definitely think you need to change something. However, I'm not getting an idea. The stiffness that you're experiencing, of course, is the body tensing up to protect itself. That's just the normal reaction that the body has from being injured further, and it looks like you did a pretty good number on your knee. It's difficult to say exactly what you need to do, because if you had a complete tear of the anterior cruciate ligament and a partial tear of the posterior cruciate ligament, I would definitely check and see how that is. It's, you know, we'd have to look into that. This is one of those situations where there's so much going on, it's difficult to really give you a direction. Once again, we'd look at, your water, how much water you're drinking. That's very important. We'd look at the food that you're eating and making sure that it's not creating an acidic state inside your body. That's going to set up the foundation for the rest of it. We're going to look at the passive stretching, which is going to create comfort in your knee. I definitely want you to get back to the doctor to see how things are going, because the medial meniscus, depending on how big the tear was, that could potentially have healed. The partial tear of the PCL, that may have healed. So I think seeing where all of that is after, it's over a year since you had that, that would be really important to see what you got going on. So, I'd begin setting up the conditions so your body begins to heal itself. And it looks like it has. I mean, obviously, seem to be pretty active. However, I definitely want to, you'd be an ideal person for coaching, to be able to work with you one-on-one to see how that all works, and get you back to doing what you like to do, walking that 3 or 4 miles a day. So, okay, next question. Bill, do you have any remedy for back pain? I got two cesarean operations after the second delivery. Got a lot of back pain. There's no relief. My muscles are tight and they start to hurt. I can't get out of bed very fast to wake up at least 10 to 15 minutes before to get up, and also very tired. Difficult to fall asleep and tired during the day. What was the reason for the pain that occurred in my body? Send me a simple exercise. Didn't need any painkillers. Okay. Cesarean operations for any woman are extremely, extremely traumatic. That is not a normal birth. So there's the trauma from the birth not going as smooth as it was like, and then, of course, there's an operation on top of it. They are necessary. However, they're still traumatic. So what happens is the body experiences this trauma and tenses up to protect itself. Consequently, on the other side of the belly is the is the back. And that, when the body tenses up to protect itself, it can cause a lot of issues. Matter of fact, I believe that the exercise that I'm going to be, I just put up in the August virtual clinic, was how to address lower back and hip pain. And it was a real simple exercise that you could just do minutes a day, and basically it's taking the pressure off of the lower back and re-educating the body how to let go of the tension. And of course, the back is actually pretty vague, because you have the lower back, you have the middle back, you have the upper back. What exactly part of the back is hurting makes a difference as to how you address it. However, the video that I just put up in the virtual clinic should pretty much help a whole lot of back issues. So you may want to check that out and see how that goes. Okay. Dear Bill, my knees don't have pain but weakness, especially when I'm walking. Sometimes my knees buckle and I can't walk upstairs unless I hold onto the railings, can't bend or do squats. I had an x-ray done and was told that my knees were okay. Also had a cortisone shot and given medication, but still the weakness persists in my knees. Can you please help me? I don't totally understand why you would receive a cortisone shot and be given medication if you had weakness. That's generally a function of, that's a nerve issue. And if you make the nerves numb, that can consequently make the issue worse. However, I do not necessarily know what the doctor's idea was behind that. I would look at, generally when you have the weakness and they give way, that goes back to the tension pattern, the body protecting itself from being injured further. So the idea is to relax those tension patterns, to create the space in the knee joint so the body can begin to heal itself. So it doesn't impinge on the nerves, and when the nerves have that space, then you're not going to have the weakness. So when you don't have the weakness, then you can build up the strength in the legs, functioning on strengthening, targeting, doing that targeted strength in the knee joint itself, building up the tendons and ligaments in that knee joint. So that should give you an idea, a direction to go to. I would work on the tension in the knees as well as in the hips and the lower back. Because that's all tied together. In order for you to be able to do squats, the tension in the hips and the lower back tie in very much the same. This was what I was talking about with Judith earlier, as far as her not being able to kneel all the way down, her heel all the way to her butt. So that's something that I would take a look at, and I would really focus on the passive stretching as well as active stretching exercises in the virtual clinic. Okay, question from Foe. Dear Bill, thanks so much for your information on knee pain. My English language is poor. It was difficult to understand the last episode when I was listening to it. I've had knee pain for 2 years. When I was consulting with doctors, they told me the way to go was surgery. I'm afraid of having an operation. I want to treat it by physical therapy. I would like for your advice about therapy treatment of my knee pain. Now not only you have knee pain, I have knee pain. My son, 19 years old, also has lupus. If you know about it, please provide me information of lupus. Best regards from Foe. Okay, Foe, big thing. Lupus is an autoimmune disease, real quick, and I don't want to get into too much details on that. Lupus is an autoimmune disease, and once again, a lot of the foods that we eat can contribute to the autoimmune diseases. That's when the foods that we eat unknowingly contribute to that permeability or the holes in our guts, which causes the waste from the food that we eat to begin to go around the body. So then the body begins to attack itself to protect itself. And that causes a lot of the autoimmune issues. So I would definitely look into the paleo diet. I have a link on my website that goes into the details on that. And that's something that's definitely would benefit. I believe the therapy treatment plan for your knees would be best addressed, like as I've been talking throughout the entire podcast. We want to create those conditions to make your knee pain, your body getting you out of knee pain inevitable. We want to get the water dialed in correctly and the food dialed in correctly so your body can begin to clean itself out and heal the damaged tissues, heal the damaged cells. And the next thing, we want to look at those tension patterns that are in your body, and we want to tighten what's loose as well as loosen what's tight. I go into all of this in my virtual clinic. Of course, the virtual clinic is going to be more than just the knees. I'm going to look at the feet, the ankles, the hips, the lower back, the whole nine yards as far as relaxing those tension patterns. I also have my home study course. The home study course just specifically focuses on the knees. I don't get into other areas of the body. This is just like the patch kit for getting you out of knee pain. So that's really important. Probably the best thing you can do right now is making sure you have my free report. Go to thekneepainguru.com. On the right-hand column, there is a icon to download my free report. I get my free report, and then you have an opportunity to get my ebook. Just begin incorporating those things. The idea is the first thing you want to do is take that literal first step, even though it's a baby step. Begin to take those actions that are going to help you get yourself out of knee pain. That's really the best direction I can give you right now. You can also go like specifically for the knees, go to kneepainhomestudycourse.com, and that will also get you into an area that will begin to educate you more about what's going on with your knees, and that will lead you down to my home study course, which I believe will be very beneficial for you. So, please let me know if you have any other questions, and we'll do our best to address it. Those are all the questions we have for today. I want to thank you so much for being here, and enjoy the rest of your day wherever you are in the world. And I will see you next time. Bye-bye.